Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. Okay, wait. I don't freaking know what you've watched this week, except I do know that you were maybe working on a She's Scared video, if I saw it right, and me stalking your like Insta story, editing outside. I literally zoomed in.
I was actually editing my Michael Clifford side quest album reaction.
I am zooming in and it looks horror to me. What's going on in that album? Is it sad?
It was no, you know what? It was the Give Me a Break music video, which actually it's a little insane. So
okay,
that checks out. That makes sense.
You got me.
Okay. I actually did skip a week on She's Scared because, well, I filmed the monkey and then like that wasn't going out last week, and then I was just busy, so it didn't. Came out for She's Scared, but I did watch a movie. I watched it between two nights because that's just the way I do things now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like hype this movie up and say like it's a great, perfect movie, but I loved it so much. It is a paranormal film on Shudder called The Cellar. And it came out in like 2022. And I don't know what it was about this movie. It's like paranormal mystery thriller kind of vibes and very much follows a lot of tropes, including like family moves into new house and weird things start happening. And like, I do love that style of horror, but it has a little bit of a twist to it. And I don't know if you're looking for something of that genre, I recommend The Cellar on Shudder. I really, really enjoyed it.
I love like throwing in a little bit of mystery to horror thriller. Like that's, I'm discovering my thing. Like, especially going into, it's really fun for podcast episodes, but also it's just fun all around, like adding a mystery to it. That's fun. I watched one movie as well this week. I watched it last night.
Are you good?
I watched it. Like why I have the clearest voice in the world talking to you 40 minutes before this.
Oh, yeah.
with our tea and then the recording starts and I'm coughing.
Same though.
Okay, no, the one movie I watched it last night. It's called, oh, I think you know of this one, Opus.
I don't know if I've seen this one.
It's been like floating around. It's more, I think it's honestly not even considered horror. I think it's a drama thriller.
Okay.
And it has like, I think her name's Ayo or something. I think. I don't know. I knew her. I liked the main actress. I knew her from, Bottoms. I know her from Bottoms.
Oh, I've heard of that. Okay.
Basically, she goes, she's like a reporter in a sense, and she gets invited out to like this pop star's private island. He used to be like big in the 90s, and then now he's making a comeback and he's like inviting a bunch of people out for his comeback, and her company are reporting on it. What I'll say is it's kind of giving The Menu. I don't think you saw Blink Twice, the movie Blink Twice.
I have not seen that one yet, no.
Okay, that one I did enjoy more than this one, but coming out of the movie, I was like, okay, this is kind of giving The Menu meets Blink Twice, and it was like nothing really new, but I enjoyed like the performances. But then also I looked on Letterboxd and like the top comment on Letterboxd was like, The Menu meets Blink Twice meets Get Out meets Don't Worry Darling. Like everyone was like, oh, it's just like one of those movies where it's taking from a bunch of popular movies that did something in the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're like, oh, let's just make it one and everyone's gonna love it, right? Because we're taking all the good things.
Right.
Yeah, no, I just looked it up. I don't recognize it, but even the picture that I'm looking at, though, like, is giving The Menu. Like, that's on Letterboxd.
So, Nope is Jordan Peele's third feature film that he directed after Get Out and Us. And it came out in 2022. It's considered a neo-Western sci-fi horror film.
I'm sorry. What? I don't think I've ever heard of a neo-Western.
Okay, me either. I had to look up what that means.
Yeah.
And it's basically the neo part is like modern. So a lot of Westerns take place like back in the day when everyone's on horses.
True. Actually, yeah, that's valid.
It stars Daniel Kaluuya, who was the lead in Get Out. He's also the lead here.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also Kiki Palmer. They play
Kiki
brother.
Palmer.
Yes. I know. I was so excited.
What? This is so exciting. I'm ready.
Exactly. Wait, were you – I have to ask, were you a True Jackson VP girly?
Not religiously or anything. But
me either.
I've seen some of it.
My bestie was a big fan of that one. Well, you were an iCarly girly, oh, yeah. Right? I was like – a Wizards of Waverly Place, girly.
Good choice. I like watched that entire series probably about like 8 years ago, like when I was in college. I was like, I'm just gonna rewatch the whole series, and it was really fun.
That's so funny. I don't know, about 8 years ago, I did the same thing, except I did it with Lizzie McGuire.
Oh my god, look at us. We live the same life.
We do. Why
we really
this,
do?
Why are we like this? Anyways, yeah, Kiki Palmer is in it. She's playing his sister. Like those are the two leads. Are these two?
Got you.
It was well received by critics and fans, as Jordan Peele's movies often are.
Oh, yeah.
Although, if you want to go based off of Rotten Tomatoes, Get Out is the critic and fan favorite. Like, it's rated at the top. And then it comes down to, like, personal preference, whether people prefer Us or Nope, I think, is the vibe.
I got you.
Okay, wait, yeah. So I wanted to clarify, what do you know going into this one, if anything?
All I remember about Nope is a UFO and a cow and a night sky. And that's about, and I, that might not even be right. I really don't know anything. I just remember, I think my brother watched it and he said it was kind of like artsy. And like the only reason that came up is because he doesn't like artsy movies. So like that was why he didn't like it.
I could feel that this one was the most out there. And I feel like this was the most, like, you can feel in the writing and the script and the directing that Jordan Peele is like the most comfortable writing and directing this one in a way that I can imagine some people might not like, because it just has so much room to breathe and it's just like, let's put this cool shot in there because it's cool.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like Get Out specifically is a much tighter script.
Okay, yeah.
So anyways, it's going to be an interesting one to get across in podcast format, because we do have a lot of like heavy atmospheric and visual storytelling happening here. Mm-hmm. But we're going to give it a go.
Yeah.
And here we go.
Yay! I'm excited.
The film opens with a quote on the screen from the Hebrew Bible. I will cast abominable filth at you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. As we see the quote on screen, we hear some muffled shrieks of pain and a pounding of some kind, maybe like someone being punched. And then we cold open on the floor of a sitcom soundstage.
Oh, that's not where I thought we were going. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
It's like, wait, is that the whole point of the movie?
What do you mean?
Well, you just said nope. Like,
oh, I thought you were talking about like how I set up explaining this.
Nope. I was like, wait, did she do that on purpose?
I didn't even register that I said nope. Like, here we are.
That, you know what? Here we go. That's the vibe.
Let me redo that. Yes, yes, I did say that on purpose. Oh, I am a comedic mastermind.
She's a genius, everybody.
No, you don't expect us to open on a sitcom soundstage for sure. But it looks like a tornado has gone through the set. Everything is a mess. There's blood splattered everywhere. And there's a single shoe with a blood stain balancing on like its heel pointed upwards at the ceiling.
Like magically kind of vibes, or this makes sense?
I think it's like an artsy creative direction.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we're supposed to take like paranormal. I think it just like stands out and looks cool on camera. Then we see a chimp in a party hat.
Oh, girl. What?
We're back to it. The monkey. Are you ready?
Oh, no. Please do not take me back there. Never again.
The studio audience has all fled, and there's a woman, presumably an actress, on stage, flat on her back. The chimp nudges at her leg, checking to see if she's still alive. She doesn't move. And we cut away to a pretty typical, slightly spooky in a fun way type of house, and it's surrounded by a big farm ranch situation. So we're going to leave that little opening there for a bit.
We're just going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. I'm not curious about what happened or anything. I'm happy to leave that.
Perfect. No, so yeah, this house, this ranch, we're going to be spending a lot of time here. It kind of is giving – did you ever watch Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Oh, yeah.
It's giving that house, like in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very comforting.
Yeah. Out tending to the horses in the barn, we meet our main guy, OJ. And when he comes back outside to the little arenas that the horses can run in, his dad, Otis Sr., is riding one of their horses, but comes to a stop when he sees OJ, and they start talking about an upcoming gig that they're hoping to get because they've got a family business that has been in the family for a very long time called Haywood's Hollywood Horses Ranch, which is basically a business where they bring their horses onto these big movie sets to be used for filming.
Oh, don't bring them to the ring.
What? Oh my God.
Have you seen that?
Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah. No, it's been a long time. I was like, I thought you were talking about like wrestling for a second.
Don't bring him to the wrestling ring.
And then it clicked the movie. And I was like, oh yeah, the horse, that poor horse. Oh man. Yeah. Oh yeah. So like they bring their horses on set. They're like handling them throughout the day, making sure everyone's being safe. Like that's their whole thing.
Okay.
So anyways, they're talking about an upcoming gig that could be really great for them. Like a big movie, probably with a sequel if we can get this one.
Ooh.
And Otis, yes. And Otis is telling OJ that he's got to execute the deal because it does seem like they've been going a little downhill as of late and might have to consider selling some horses to make ends meet if they don't start turning over a profit. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. So they wrap up that conversation and OJ starts walking up to the house. But when he pulls his phone out, the screen suddenly goes black in the middle of using it. Like it's powered itself down. And then OJ hears faint screaming coming from above, like from the sky.
Oh.
So he looks up, but all we can see are like some floating clouds and the sun is peeking through them a bit.
Ew.
Yeah.
Like, ew, and, ew. Can you imagine hearing screaming from the sky and there's just nothing there?
Yes. And do you know what it sounds like, actually, the screaming? You know, like when you're at a like a fair and there's a roller coaster?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You hear the screams like fly past you, but then they're gone.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that, but like really faint. Ew. It's weird.
Ew, ew, ew. Hate it.
His dad hears it too, and they're both looking up now like, what the hell?
A shared experience, that like a shared paranormal experience at this point in a film is insane. Yeah. Insane. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay.
Then we hear like a compact thud, and then another, and then another. And it looks like there's this weird erratic hail raining down over them all of a sudden, but it's huge. That's what it looks like.
Oh.
Like the speed of it coming down and how hard it's hitting the ground, you're not going to want to get hit with whatever is coming down. And OJ doesn't get hit, but when he looks over to his dad, he seems to be suddenly still on top of his horse.
Uh-oh.
And then the horse gets hit with one of the things raining down and neighs and like starts trotting off a bit.
Okay.
And when the horse starts to move, Otis, OJ's dad, falls limp from the horse to the ground. And so the horse stops and OJ immediately goes running to his dad. And whatever was raining, that has stopped now too. Like it's over.
What?
Up closer, we can see what hit the horse that caused it to startle. Because up until then, until now, it just looks like heavy hail.
The fact that you're – okay, I'm scared.
What do you think is in this horse right now? Like punctured into this horse right now?
Tell me – okay, this is not what I think it is. But tell me why. Tell me why instead of like – chunks of hail, I just think it's going to be severed heads falling from the sky.
It kind of looked like hail, but really, upon closer inspection, it's like giant heads. Yes.
Yeah.
No. No. No.
You sound so disappointed.
I mean, I don't know what I was expecting you to say, but...
It wasn't that.
Yeah. OJ walks up to the horse and there's a key punctured into the top of its back leg.
A key?
Like a house or car key of some sort.
Oh.
And Otis, his dad, whatever hit him, completely burst through and took out one of his eyes and is lodged into his skull now.
What is happening?
Yeah. Blood is spurting everywhere. OJ gets him in the car and gets him to the hospital, but... Otis either dies on the way there or doesn't make it through surgery because we cut to like him, his body like covered by like a sheet in a hospital room. And we see in an x-ray what killed him. There was a coin that lodged itself deep into his skull. Like it was a nickel. Yeah.
A nickel killed him?
Yeah. Imagine how hard it's got to be like coming down, like velocity to just... go right into your skull.
I always see that thumbnail. Like, there's a YouTube video, and it's like, would a penny kill somebody if you threw it off, like, the Empire State? Mm-hmm. I've never clicked on the video, but I see the thumbnail all the time.
I have not. That's interesting.
The algorithm.
I've seen stuff like that, like, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I don't know what else was falling from the sky, but keys and coins were among what was falling.
That makes sense to me.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm on board. I'm here. I'm going to make it through.
What would you do? What would you do?
What I would mean, you do?
There's nothing you can do, I guess.
Nothing. I would go.
Never go outside.
What the hell is that? And then I would try to move on, I think.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, it's weird. It's a weird one. It's not one of those things where it's like, I gotta move. It's just like, what the fuck?
You just go, okay.
We cut to months later, and OJ is on set for a commercial with one of their horses, Lucky. And it's annoying because a bunch of people on set are just not caring about the rule to, like, not look Lucky in the eye, and he keeps on having to remind them. And the star of the commercial thinks she's so much better than him because she's the star, and she gives him, like, a judgmental look when he says that his name is OJ. And we just know that she's like, oh God, like, OJ Simpson. Like, the look that she gives him is like,
oh my God.
Oh, it's like, what the fuck? Like, take a seat.
Girly, step back.
So yeah, not a very kind set, and definitely not a crew that's patient enough to be dealing with a skittish horse. And they're ready for him, for OJ, to get into, like, the official safety protocol speech that they have to give before getting started. But he's like, yeah, just a minute. Like, my team's almost here. He's not a people person. OJ does not want to talk to people. And it's clear that he's not usually the one to do the talking, but his sister is late. They're running behind, and eventually he's got to be the one to start giving the speech so that they can move on with the shoot.
I would hate that.
I know. I'm very much OJ in the pairing here. Yep. But thank God that when he starts to give the speech, he starts stuttering at the beginning of the speech. His sister, Kiki Palmer, aka Emerald, comes bursting in. And she is like a loud ball of charisma and energy.
Yes, that makes sense for Kiki Palmer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
So she comes in, she's like, hello, how are y'all doing? My name is Emerald, that's OJ, and we are your animal wranglers today with Haywood Hollywood Horses. Did you know that the very first assembly of photographs in sequential order to create a motion picture was a 2-second clip of a black man on a horse? Yes, it was. Look it up. And it is. I was like, oh my God, wow. I know that. I've seen that before, like in random, like probably college courses.
Right,
or
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I do go down like a wiki spiral for some reason.
True.
And she goes on to explain that the man in that clip, the first animal wrangler, stuntman, and movie star all rolled into one, was Alistair E. Haywood, and he is their great-great-grandfather. So they're kind of a big deal. And she's really good at hyping them up. Then she gets into some standard safety precautions, no sudden movements or loud noises, things like that. But then at the end of her spiel, she makes sure to say, and again, I am Emerald Haywood. I direct, write, produce, and act. I do a little singing on the side, motorcycles. Look, I make a mean grilled cheese if you need me.
Yes, girl.
Just holler at me. Meanwhile, OJ's in the back, like, trying his best not to roll his eyes. He's just trying to get down to business here.
Yep.
And they do. It's rehearsal time, and OJ lets the crew know that he thinks Lucky needs a quick break before, like, going through the scene, but they don't care. They just keep setting up. No, they keep setting up the shot, asking OJ to get off the stage. No one is listening to him. And at one point, one of the crew members has this, like, chrome reflective ball for some reason. Is that a thing that you know is used for some reason on sets? I don't know.
No, I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so he holds it up. This guy holds it up in front of Lucky. So Lucky sees their reflection and gets spooked and, like, kicks his back legs out, hitting a crew member on set, like, standing behind them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we cut to the director basically firing them.
Oh, my God. Don't stand behind a horse, first of
right,
all.
Right, right. And, like, they just weren't listening to any, like,
yeah,
don't
exactly.
Put a mirror in front of a horse. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but the director is apologetic, and, like, he knows that their dad didn't leave the business in the best of shape for them, but he's like, sorry, this isn't going to work out. Best of luck.
Oof.
Yeah. On the car ride, leaving the shoot, they get Lucky in a trailer attached to the back, like this big enclosed trailer, and there's a relationship established here. between these two siblings that shows that they're clearly very close and comfortable with each other, but it seems like they're dealing with their grief and stress with like running the business very differently.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Emerald is like, hey, everything is cool. We're fine. We're vibing. Fake it till you make it. Let's dance, you know?
Yeah.
And then with OJ, you can just like see the depression on his face. Like he's having a hard time and he's not hiding it, you know? So anyways, they head out to a local Western-themed amusement park where OJ has already sold 9 of the horses from the ranch.
Oh.
Yeah. And now it's going to be 10 because he's selling Lucky.
Wait, this is sad. Mm-hmm.
It is. Oh, I will warn you right now. Oh. I did cry at one point during this movie.
Oh, good.
You'll see. So,
oh, I'm so excited.
This is Emerald's first time out here since it's been turned into like this new Western amusement park. And she's looking around. It's pretty cool. It's like a real old Western town, fun food, giant cowboy balloons, and like this old well that she looks down into because there are 2 other people looking into it. So she's like, what's in this well? But then a flash goes off and she realizes that it's a photo booth. Like the camera's at the bottom of the well.
Oh.
And like you look down into it and it takes a picture of you, like, which I don't want to see myself at that angle.
Yeah, what? I've never heard of this. Like, is this a real thing? Jeez.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know. It takes her a minute to realize that OJ is selling Lucky, and she's shocked when she finds out how many horses that he has sold to this place.
Mm.
But he's like, yeah, okay, well, anyways, stay here. I need to go meet with Jupe, who is the owner of the amusement park. And she's like, the hell, I'm coming with. We're running this business together. And OJ's like, yeah, this business. Don't promote your side shit on the job. If you want to promote something, promote this business.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Yeah, I see it. She rolls her eyes and is basically like, okay, fuck you. And then just follows him right into the building and goes to the meeting with him. And this is where we meet Jupe. So he's in his late 30s or so, and his office is full of a bunch of movie posters and set pieces. So while OJ is talking with him about Lucky, Emerald gets distracted looking at everything, and then she realizes something and she goes, wait a minute, is this you? You're the Asian kid from Kid Sheriff? And OJ's embarrassed and tells her to stop, but you can tell by Jupe's reaction that he actually likes the attention, attention and is excited to like talk about his experience.
Mm.
So yeah, OJ tries to keep him on track, like not to be distracted by Emerald. And he brings up an idea. He's like, hey, actually, so I wanted to lay some groundwork to a pathway of like buying some of my horses back. And Jupe's reaction to that is like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Meanwhile, Emerald has spotted a framed poster, a cartoon comic drawing of a monkey in a birthday hat.
Oh, callback. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, standing on top of a couch with a pile of broken decorations around him. And in big letters over the image, it reads, Mad Happy Birthday. And this rings a bell for Emerald, and she's like, wait a minute, is this what I think it is? And Jupe's all excited again. He stands up out of his chair immediately and is like, oh, OJ, have I shown you this yet? This is in reference to the Gordy's Home incident. Gordy's Home being the sitcom that he starred in as a kid. And Emerald's like, yeah, my pop told me about the show. He said the monkey went crazy or some shit. And Jupe nods and is like, yeah, crazy. You know, I usually charge for this, but let me just show you guys. And he reveals a hidden room behind the wall of this drawing. And there's this room full of props from that sitcom.
Weird.
Yeah. Also a poster on the wall, which he claims to be their first ever exploding fist bump, which shows him and the chimp. Him is like a kid. He looks probably like 8 years old. And the chimp doing a fist bump, apparently a big deal on the show.
Okay.
And he opens up about how when they started filming the episode that was to be entitled Gordy's Birthday, one of the chimps that played Gordy just reached his limit and it ended up being 6 minutes and 13 seconds of havoc. And he says, the network tried to bury it, but it was a spectacle. People are just obsessed.
Right. Yeah, that kind of morbid curiosity type of situation.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about morbid curiosity during this movie.
Oh, boy.
And then it's going to open up to other avenues as well. That's just why. Anyways, yes.
Oh, okay.
you're on the right path.
Got you.
So one of the props in the room in its own glass case is that shoe that we saw from the beginning of the movie with a blood stain on it, like standing upright, just like how it was on the stage.
Right.
And, you know, this is serious, though. So Emerald's like, man, what really happened? Like, what do you remember? And Jupe is like, oh, you haven't seen the SNL sketch that they did spoofing it? They tell the story better than I probably can. They crushed it. The whole thing is legendary. Legendary shit.
Yikes. Like,
are you traumatized?
Yeah, right? Like, what? Yeah, that must have been so fun.
Right. But then we get a hard cut to a flashback of little Jupe as a kid, blood spatter on his face, hiding underneath a table on the soundstage.
Like, oh, yeah.
Terrified. But then we immediately go right back to the present, and Emerald is like, huh, yeah, I'm going to have to look at that SNL sketch up on YouTube. LOL. and then we cut to dusk. OJ and Emerald are walking up the insanely large dirt track that is their driveway, and OJ tells her that Jupe offered to buy the ranch.
Whoa.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, that's interesting. How much? And he's like, why? And she goes, because I want to know how much of a dumbass you are. Yeah. She's not on board. And
no,
I'm not either.
Not. Yeah. Right.
He shrugs and is like, I'm probably a big one. And then he heads up to the house. She stops and thinks on everything for a second before calling out to him. So I guess you don't want to see what's good with Dad's liquor cabinet then, huh? And OJ's response is, I got that hobby weed too, actually. And Emerald's like, oh, okay, that's all you had to say. So we cut to a little later that night, and they both got a drink in their hands at this point, and she's looking around the house. She hasn't been in here for a couple of years.
Mm.
And she sees a picture of a horse on the wall and is like, aw, I remember this one. We named him Jean Jacket. I was supposed to get to train him for my 9th birthday, but then Pops got some Western and Jean Jacket wasn't mine anymore. Like, he went off to be a movie star. So she's like a classic Otis senior. I distinctly remember standing here at this window watching you guys train my horse, and Pops never looked up at me, but you did. And we get a quick flashback of little OJ out in the ring with his dad, their dad, and Jean Jacket, but he looks up at us. We're in Emerald's POV up in the window, and OJ does that thing where, like, you take your two fingers and then put them up to your eyes and then you point at someone else like, I see you, I got my eyes on you. And it's cute, and she appreciated, like, being seen by OJ in that moment. Like, he knew that she was kind of sad that she wasn't gonna get to have this horse anymore.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. OJ does say, though, like, yeah, Pops was hard-headed, but you got to admit that he changed the industry when he made this place, and I can't just let it go. Like, he's really just trying to keep this business alive. And Emerald's distracted, looking out the window, and she goes, why is Ghost in the arena? Ghost being one of their horses.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a big title card on a black screen that says Ghost.
Oh, interesting. Anytime that happens in a movie, I'm always surprised. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting structure.
Because it's not quite meta, but there's something about it that is – it's not breaking the fourth wall. But it almost feels like it is, because you're, like, putting it in chapters and you're speaking to the audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like I get that, because it's like we don't know what is important about Ghost. But it's like something's about to go down with Ghost, you guys.
Exactly.
OJ walks out to the arena to find Ghost standing in a spot at the fence, staring up at the sky. Like, he sees something and he's spooked. And then very suddenly, Ghost just hops the arena fence and runs off into the distance.
Oh. Is this a high fence, or?
I don't think they're supposed to be able to get out of this arena fence, but I think it's like they can if they're scared enough, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And OJ just stands there watching, like, what the hell? And Emerald calls down, like, hey, where's he going? And OJ just shrugs, like, confused. So he ends up taking a UTV out to the edge of his property, and there's a spot where we can look down at Jupiter's amusement park. He has a special nighttime show going so OJ can see the bright stadium lights are on, and we can hear Jupe over the speakers running the show, and we hear him saying, "What if I told you you'll leave here different? Every Friday for the last 6 months, my family and I bore witness to an absolute spectacle." But then all of a sudden, the stadium lights go dark. The wind picks up. Maybe 5 seconds later, the stadium lights come back on. And then we start hearing that faint screaming coming from the sky again.
No. Wait, that's a bad sign. I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah, you never want to hear faint screaming.
No, I don't think I do.
Back inside, Emerald's been dancing to like a record when all the power goes out for her too for a couple seconds.
But okay, then it comes
back on.
I wasn't sure if this was part of the show or if that was a power outage. So it's mm-hmm. power went out. Okay, interesting.
But literally for like 3 seconds, and it seems to be moving because it's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like down there it went out, and then we're watching it kind of like move over to the house, and a couple seconds later it affects the house, and then it comes back on, like really weird.
Ooh, okay, cool.
So OJ's still outside trying to understand the sound that he's hearing, like the screaming, but then for a second in the distance between clouds, he plain as day sees a flying saucer move behind one cloud to the next, like very big and very fast. And I just have to say, when it comes to flying saucers in movies,
yes,
it often comes off like very gimmicky to me, like LOL, okay. But this is like the best flying saucer I've ever, like it looks like real. It looks like holy shit, you know?
Oh, no, because I was going to ask, like, does the UFO have like a cartoony appear? Like, what does this UFO look like?
A girl.
You don't have to describe it. I'm not putting you on the spot. But like,
no.
Is it cartoony? Is it kind of like futuristic? Is it like, what is it?
I don't know how else to describe it other than it just looks real. Mm. And I'll like unveil like more about the UFO as we go.
Gotcha.
But right now, like it genuinely just like in a blink, we're seeing it and it looks real and it looks scary. And it looks like, what the fuck? Like I just saw a UFO, but that can't be real.
Yeah.
Like I think we've had the discussion where we do believe in aliens, but as far as like aliens on Earth in flying saucers, like I don't think really there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
OJ drives back up to the house and Emerald's like, hey, you saw that, right? The power went out and where's Ghost? We don't know where Ghost is. OJ wants to see the security footage that they have on the property. And Emerald's down, doesn't really question it. She feels like something weird in the air tonight. And OJ saw something weird. Oh, yeah, I made a joke here. And OJ saw something weird in the air tonight. But of course, their cameras cut out with the power outage during the exact moment that it should have recorded this flying saucer in the sky.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
So Emerald asks him. He still has like basically not said a word to her. She just asks, what did you see out there? Like she knows he saw something. And out on the porch, after taking a breather and collecting himself a bit, OJ asks her, do they have a word for a bad miracle? And Emerald replies, nope.
Hey!
And OJ continues, they said it was a prop plane or something that killed Pops, but that shit never made sense to me. Tonight I heard Ghost make a sound I've never heard a horse make. And then in the sky, what I saw, it was big and it was fast, and too quiet to be a plane. So Emerald's like, are you saying what I think you're saying? And he nods. They're both on the same page. He's like, shit, you just saw a UFO. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're in an area. I forget. I don't know exactly. I mean, they've got to be in California because of like Hollywood. You know?
True. Yeah.
So, but they're in like all those desert places out on the West Coast. I feel like they're big on UFOs and like aliens and stuff
Well, where's Area 51 or whatever that everyone associates with aliens? Yeah. That's West Coast, right?
For sure. I think it might be Nevada.
That sounds right. I know it's like just desert.
Yes. Also, him being like, they said it was a prop plane that killed Pops. That totally would make sense to me. Like, I'd buy that if I was told that.
So, like, you would say that from the scene that you saw, like, that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, then my thought is, like, is the screaming, like, was the plane crashing? Like,
oh, true. Right.
Shit is falling out, like, screaming in the sky. Like, that would make sense to me. I'd probably buy it if I was given that explanation at that time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So anyways, she's like, shit, you saw a UFO? So we cut to them outside of a tech store right after that.
Ooh,
and
yep.
Emerald is talking up her whole plan about how they got to capture this UFO on camera so that they can sell the footage and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the dream. But she's like, look, there's a lot of shit on the internet already, and it's probably all fake or real and not clear enough to be believed.
Right. And even if it is, someone's going to tell you it's edited. including me, I'm going to tell you that it's unedited. Like, I'm not saying I'm the same way. So
that's so funny because it's like, I wonder how many, like, what if we've just seen real aliens on the internet and we don't know because we're like, well, obviously that's fake.
Well, obviously. It's like the exact same thing with ghosts where people are like, as soon as it's clear enough, it's like, well, that's fake. And I am also, again, one of those people who's like, well, it's got to be fake.
Yeah.
But like, maybe one of those is real. Like, I don't know. It's possible.
So she's like, okay, we got to go all out and we got to get the perfect shot, like an undeniable shot of this thing. And the way she explains it, she says they need footage worthy of an Oprah special. We need the Oprah shot.
We got to get on Oprah.
Yeah. So they get everything that they need in the store, new and next level surveillance cameras, all of that. And at the checkout, they meet Angel, the cashier. And he's like, yeah, you guys aren't going to be able to install all this without help. So I'll come over and install it for you. And they
for
don't
how
really
much?
Want, right? Like, give me a price.
Yeah.
No, they don't really want him to, but he insists. Mm. So they're just like, all right, fine. And Angel does get the impression that OJ and Emerald are trying to catch a UFO with these cameras because they mention how they've been having power outages that like even turn off their cell phones like completely, no matter how charged their cell phone is.
That is insane. Like, because I can understand a regular power outage, but how the hell would it turn out like your phone? Like, that doesn't make sense.
So low-key, I think Angel just wants to scope out the area because he's a little curious about the UFO stuff too.
Oh, man, me.
Yeah, just a little nosy.
Oh, yeah.
So later that day, Angel comes rolling up in his van with their stuff ready to install. But as soon as they get out, as soon as he gets out and greets them, he starts to randomly trauma dump about the recent and sudden end of his four-year relationship. So Emerald's just like, okay, I'm gonna head out. I need to go get something. And OJ gives her a look. He's like, are you serious? You're leaving me with this guy?
Oh my God, she would.
Yeah. And she just sends him their little, I got my eyes on you gesture and leaves him in the dust.
Goes wow.
Does whatever she's about to do. So Angel gets all of the cameras installed around the ranch and they connect remotely to a program that he has set up on OJ's laptop and in like their security room that they have in the house. So you can like move the cameras around yourself from there. OJ and Angel have the inevitable alien talk, which Angel is hardcore behind the existence of. His theory goes, either they're intergalactic travelers looking for peace or futuristic humans coming back in time to stop us from destroying the planet, or they're fucking world killers biding their time before beaming us up and shoving metal probes in our asses.
Oh, cute. Yeah. I love that one.
OJ's response to all this is cool.
I mean, what else do you say, really?
Yeah, he doesn't really give a shit. He's just like, it'd be cool to get some cash out of this. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to go with my sister's crazy antics, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess who comes rolling up the dirt track down the hill? It's Emerald, and she's driving the truck with their enclosed trailer on the back before getting out and calling up to them like, hey, I could use some help. So OJ and Angel go down there and OJ's not impressed. He's like, all right, what are you doing? What's in the trailer? What's going on?
What's back there?
And she goes, oh, you know, just some training horses we ordered that I picked up. And she sends Angel a smile like, nothing suspicious happening here.
Oh.
And OJ asks, where did you get them? And she goes, don't worry about it. Now, come on, help me out. And the three of them get this giant horse statue out of the trailer and into the arena. It's like a metal horse and it's all white with red eyes and it's kicking upwards in the air and there's a streamer of like colorful flags whipping in the wind from where it's holding the rope with its mouth, like, you know those long streamers with flags all across?
Yeah,
it's like holding that in its mouth. And so
why?
You don't get the plan yet?
Okay. I really don't know what's going on at all.
No, yeah. POV me during a lot of this movie. I'm like almost scared to post my reaction. Oh, yeah. I filmed a reaction to this one. And I'm almost nervous to post it because like after going through it and watching it a second time and writing the script, I'm like, oh, I didn't catch this. I didn't catch this. I didn't catch. And I am like, oh, now I have to post it.
That happens so often. I get it.
Yeah. The three of them are looking up at the statue with their hands on their hips and Angel goes, so is this bait or something? And Emerald's like, what? No, that's crazy. It's just a decoy for horse training. Yes, it's bait. They're trying to bait the UFO. I guess this is baited? Her idea.
With a metal horse.
She's like, Ghost was scared and had to run away. So if it's after horses, maybe we can set up this fake horse and get it to come out and play, you know?
Oh, okay.
A little bit of a stretch, but okay.
Yeah, we could try it.
Yeah. And then guess who rolls up in their own truck next to the arena? It's Jupe, the amusement park owner. And that is when we put together that she for sure stole this horse statue from his park.
Girly.
And he gets out of his truck and like waves across the arena. They're on one end and he's way on the other. Like they're so far apart. So he just gets out and he's like, hey there, like shouting really loud. And Emerald screams, hi, you can stay right there though. And Jupe's like, sure, what's up? And Emerald shouts, we're just setting up a decoy for horse training. And Jupe goes, oh, good. You know, we got some of those. He's about to go. He's about to shout, where did you get that? But Emerald shouts over him and goes, where'd you get yours? He's like, damn it. Ugh. But answers, I'm not really sure. My wife would know. And then there's an awkward silence before, for some reason, Angel shouts out, okay, thanks for stopping by. But both like OJ and Emerald are like, what the hell? You don't live here. Shut up.
What are you talking about?
But anyways, Jupe does end up like leaving and they're off the hook. And it's like, he knows that they stole that, but like he can't prove it. So he's just like, whatever, like I'll just go.
Okay.
Anyways, we cut to the front of the house where Angel is saying his goodbyes now. It's time for him to leave. He set up the cameras in perfect position so that if one goes out, the other will have caught whatever might have caused the power disturbance on the other. Mm-hmm. So yay, thank you, Angel. And we get a new title card up on a black screen. And this one says Clover.
All right. Clover. Okay.
And that night, Emerald is off sleeping in an RV somewhere on this huge ranch property. And OJ's up at the house getting some supplies together for who knows what scheme. Like, I don't even know what he's doing at this point. Like, there's like a plunger and a bunch of random stuff on a table. And I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but it doesn't really matter. So he then notices that the power in the main barn outside has started up. Like the lights, the fans, the sprinklers, the whole setup is on. And it's not supposed to be. So he walks down to the barn and everything looks normal. When he makes it to the power panel, he flips off the switch, everything shuts down, and he starts to walk back out of the barn. But then, of course, all of the power comes back on again.
Okay. And
when he looks back to the power switch, he sees this little silhouette with a big head.
No, he does not.
Suddenly, like, stand up from a corner. It's so weird. It, like, folds itself up.
Ew, yeah. Stop it.
And he's squinting at it, like, am I seeing that right now? Looks like your classic alien.
What?
It slowly starts walking toward him. Its movement kind of sounds like a muffled stretching latex. And it keeps like twitching erratically.
No, I would like to return it to the store, please.
I know. I hate it. And OJ's backing up. Obviously, he pulls out his phone though. And is like, okay, we got to get Oprah shot.
Oprah.
And then a second alien peeps its head out of a doorway at him. And that's when he's like, nope, I'm out. Fuck this shit. And he runs around the next corner to get some distance. But then he stands his ground and pulls his phone back out again and starts recording.
Ooh, okay.
Like, okay. Like waiting for them to come around the corner.
Yeah.
And one of their heads slowly peeks out.
Ew. Gross. Disgusting.
I know, I hated this. Okay, so slowly peeking out. OJ is like backing up slowly. And as he is, we see a third alien hanging from another open door frame behind him. And he clocks this, like almost backs into it. And he gets like jump scared and then just punches the alien in the face.
What? Okay. First question, have they still been like very silhouetted? Like we don't really see detail?
You can't. A little bit. It's like shadowy in here, but like I can see like the big glistening black eyes and like the dull green giant head.
my God. Okay, this isn't what I thought was going to happen, but we are here now. So. Yes,
literally me in this moment, yes.
Like,
when I was watching this.
Aliens are here.
So he punches the alien in the face, and then the alien falls to the ground and squeals, ow.
What? No, and then, it doesn't. No, it doesn't squeal, ow.
And then it removes its mask to reveal that it's just a kid. And the other two aliens are running and giggling and take their masks off too. And then the kids all run off together screaming, don't mess with Jupiter's claim. So these are Jupe's kids getting some payback because they clearly do think that we stole the – well, we did steal the horse decoy. Okay. Okay. Like, fuck off.
Okay. I'm going to – I need to just – whew. I need to take a deep breath because, wow, I
know. It looked so real. Like, again, it's like – that's so silly. Like, that's a UFO. That's so silly. That's an alien. But it looks real.
Oh, my God. Dude, I would be so mad. Are you kidding me?
I was so mad because I hate to say this. This was the most, like, scared in the edge of my seat kind of way that I was the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fucking kids?
It's like, just kids, damn it.
It was just shot so well. It was so they moved, I was like, oh,
right, it's the movement. It's like, oh, it sounds like it's legit, but okay.
But then now in hindsight, like, the sound of, like, the latex moving, it's like because they're wearing, like, plastic costumes.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, also it makes sense because, like, up until this point, it's been more of like a power is going out rather than power is starting up. You know?
True.
Emerald comes running because she's noticed now that the power is on at the barn, and OJ catches her up that Jupe's kids are messing with them. But he's especially angry because they let their horse Clover out and they have no idea where Clover ran off to now.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I'd be so mad about that.
Yeah, no, they have every right to be pissed about that.
Yeah, like it's a different kind of mad when you're, like, pulling a prank and, like, trying to scare me. But, like, letting my horse out, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, right?
Back in the house where they've got their surveillance stuff set up, Emerald checks the cams and, like, gets jump scared by a bug dropping its little head down on one of them, looking at it. And I got jump scared too, okay? The stupid praying mantis.
Oh my God. I would be scared of a praying mantis any day, any place. So
yeah. So yeah, she gets jump scared, but then she laughs it off before getting a phone call, and it's from Angel, the worker. Yeah. And he's working late at the tech store and his eyes are glued.
A singer? Sorry.
God, I hope not. Like, imagine. we don't need a musical performance in this one.
Oh, man.
So he's working late because he's obsessed with their ranch and he's looking at their cams, like, trying to watch. He's remotely looking at their cams.
Wait.
He's not supposed to.
I was going to say, bro, did we tell you you could do that?
They specifically told him he couldn't, actually.
Oh, my God.
He was like, can I? And they were like, no. Like, leave us alone. Goodbye. But, he calls and he's like, hey, there's a bug on one of your cams.
That's why he exposes himself? Over a bug?
And, of course, Emerald is like, bro, why are you watching our cams? Get out of here. And Angel's like, no, listen. The bug is cam A and cam B is down right now. The signal is lost. So she's like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Back out on the ranch, OJ has found Clover and is trying to walk her back to the barn. But she gets spooked and stops walking. Like, she doesn't want to go back there.
Oh.
And then the wind starts to pick up. Uh-oh. And Clover starts taking off running again, like, pulling out of his grip. He was, like, holding her by the lead or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, he falls to the ground because she pulls out of his grip and goes running. And he watches to see where Clover is running off to, but then he's quickly distracted by something else there's a sudden tornado-like situation happening off in a nearby field.
Bruh, I hate when a sudden tornado-like situation starts happening. It's so frustrating.
You know, those, like, tornado-like situations.
They're so rough, man.
They're so scary. No, but... But instead of, like, a cyclone formation, the wind is just, like, a strong beam happening straight up into the sky.
Oh.
You know, like, the wind is just going straight up.
Oh, that sounds cool. I'm not gonna lie.
It looks cool, yeah. But it's weird. And also, guess what's being carried up into the clouds in this wind beam?
It's not a cow, is it?
No.
Damn
it. It's the metal decoy horse that they stole and set out in the arena as bait. So once the horse decoy disappears into the clouds, the trail of like colorful flags hang down from the bottom of it, from the bottom of the cloud.
Yeah.
And Emerald's outside now seeing this from a distance, still on the phone with Angel, who's freaking out about this damn bug on the cam. And all the horses are freaking out in the barn, like kicking and neighing. And Emerald sees the ribbon strand hanging out from the cloud. So she screams to OJ, "It's in the cloud, run." And OJ starts running. And when he does, the sky is covered in clouds. And we see a big, round, dark shadow following him from behind the clouds.
Dude.
Mm-hmm. As soon as he makes it to a shed on the property, like he doesn't have the time to like try to make it all the way up to the house. He's too far away. Mm-hmm. As soon as he hits like a shed on the property, he gets inside. Any shelter will do. Back up by Emerald, her phone call with Angel suddenly disconnects and the power in the house goes out.
Oh boy.
However, she notices that the camera on top of the barn next to the house is still on. So she's like, God damn it, I need to take care of this praying mantis. So she gets up on the roof with a ladder. And then from there, the camera is still too high for her to reach because it's on another tier of the rooftop.
Mm, yeah.
So she starts throwing Sour Patch Kids at it.
I love her.
I know. No, because that would be me. I'd just be like, and I would miss every shot.
Like, oh, same. 1,000%.
Meanwhile, OJ is still hiding out in the shed and Clover goes running past again. Clover's just like running all over the place and we realize she's just trying to outrun this UFO in the sky, which now seems to be following her.
Oh my God.
OJ keeps an eye on it through the like slats of this shed, the wood of the shed. And unfortunately, we watch as another beam of wind drops down around Clover and lifts her up into the sky.
Oh.
And she's kicking around and like neighing and she sounds so scared.
Oh.
But like there's nothing we can do. She gets taken.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
This is such a weird, I'm like sad, but also I should be more like, what the fuck? There's an alien horse robber in the sky. Just like stealing people's horses, like for what? Like what, they building a rodeo up there? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, rodeo in the clouds. That would be Buko Bucks. Speaking of Buko Bucks, do you know that phrase?
I was about to be like, girl, what did you just say? I'm sorry.
The amount of times I wanted to write, because so much of this movie is around them like wanting to make a lot of money. And like in my area, I don't know, my family, like we say Buko Bucks as like, you can make Buko Bucks from that or whatever, like a lot of money.
Oh, and
yeah, no. As I was typing it, I was like, wait, I don't know how to spell this. Mm-hmm. Like, I've only heard it. So I was like, is this a real thing? And I asked Corey and he's like, do you mean beaucoup? Like the French word beaucoup, because that means a lot. And I was like,
oh,
what? So I look it up and it's like, yes, this is American slang that was taken back in rural areas where like people picked up the slang in World War I from like their time in France. And I was like,
oh,
hello. Anyways, that's just a side tangent that does not matter. But the amount of times I had to like not say Buko Bucks because I was like, wait, I don't think this is something everyone says.
Anyways, would love to know though, like on Discord people like tell us, because I've never heard that in my life.
Okay, so we cut to Emerald up on the barn roof still, like the praying mantis is still on the cam, and she hears the shrieking of the horse, and finally for the first time herself she sees the UFO fly out over the mountains and disappear. And then the praying mantis flies off of the camera.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Once the UFO is gone. So like, what, are you working for him? Hello?
Yeah.
Back in the surveillance room, Emerald and OJ regroup and Emerald is freaking out. She's like, we got to get out of here. Like, this is too much. Like, she thought it was going to be fun and now she saw it and she's like, holy shit, let's get out of here.
No, thank you.
But OJ's like, I'm not going anywhere. I've got mouths to feed. I'm not leaving these horses.
Mm.
She thinks on it and she's like, shit, okay. Because she's going to stay too.
Right.
And this is our first survivability check-in.
Okay.
This is like the first hour of the movie.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, at this point, I guess like if we're going to put a number on it, it's 100. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think – it seems like more of a – I'm not a horse. So like I don't think I'm dead. And I guess the dad died And right. it's like, I don't know. It's interesting because at this point, I don't know if – I don't know what that was, right? Like, I don't 100% mm-hmm. know what happened there. I don't know if he was targeted or mm-hmm. if it just – like, I don't know at this point. So I'm, like, very much living with OJ and Emerald. So, okay. I don't know. I think I'm 100 at the moment.
Okay. I gave myself an 85 because I was like, what if I am that person that gets killed with a coin? Like,
yeah, which is fair. Which is fair. Yeah.
Okay. So the next day, Emerald decides to make a call to Antlers Holst, a famous cinematographer. He was on set at the commercial that they ended up getting fired from. And she pitches a little project to him because she got his number from the call sheet, which he's not too happy about. But she pitches to him, you know, a little project, and she calls it the offer of a lifetime. They want his help in capturing a money shot, an Oprah shot of this UFO. And okay. she's like, so we don't have a lot of money to pay you up front, but like, trust me, you'll be rolling in it with us if we get this shot.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, and we feel like it's only you that can manage to get this impossible shot, like really stroking his ego. Like, you are the only one who can do this. And basically Antlers is like, yeah, that's not possible. Stop chasing this dream of yours. It's a dream that you'll never wake up from. And then he hangs up.
Oh, he said no. Like,
okay.
Never mind.
Then Angel comes rolling up in his tech van and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? Stay off our cams. Why don't you stay off our property while you're at it? Like, hello. But he ignores them and walks off across the drive, staring up at the sky. And he is like, holy shit, it's real.
What?
And Emerald and OJ are confused. Yeah. And Angel's like, you guys don't know? And he takes them into the surveillance room and scrubs back through all of the footage since he set the cams up. And we're just watching the sky and the clouds are moving through day after day, except there's one cloud that doesn't move at all while the others pass it by.
Hell no.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
And I was just like, oh shit, now that I think about it, I think I've been looking at that same cloud every day for the last 6 months, like at least.
Oh, that's like, is there just like a UFO living in there? Like, right. or something? Like, is that its little home?
This is, yeah, like they think this means that this is where the UFO's base is.
That's
where it
crazy.
Stays when it's just not stealing our horses or like raining coins, you know?
It's just chilling in a cloud.
So Emerald's like, okay, we've got proof, footage of a cloud that doesn't move. That's the shot. But OJ and Angel are like, nah, this is not good enough. It's not getting us on Oprah.
Yeah.
And Angel's still freaking out. He's seen every episode of Ancient Aliens, and now this is happening in front of him. And he's like, okay, but seriously, you guys are telling me that there's an alien spaceship in that cloud right there, right now. And OJ goes, it doesn't move like a ship. And M's like, what do you mean? And OJ goes, what if it's not a ship?
But what and is it? What is it?
Exactly. Wait, so when he said that, I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, like, I don't understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, it'll come up soon.
Okay.
We get a new title card on a black screen, this time saying Gordy, which we know is the killer monkey from the show Gordy's Home.
Right.
And we get a flashback to the set again back in 1998. And what triggered the monkey that day was one of the birthday balloons popping. And everyone is running, trying to escape. It's chaos. Little Jupe is under a set table, watching the monkey with its already bloody hands bashing in the face of the actress who plays his sister.
Oof.
And the actor who plays his father comes running in, presumably to try and rescue this girl and tame the monkey. But Gordy doesn't listen, and the dad actor becomes the chimp's next victim. And Jupe's having a hard time controlling his breathing underneath that table, and Gordy ends up spotting him. And he slowly makes his way over to Jupe and starts trying to communicate something with him with like sound and gesture. And it's like Gordy wants Jupe to follow him. But Jupe is terrified and is like not moving out from under this table. And then Gordy starts slowly reaching a curled up fist toward Jupe. And he realizes the monkey is going in for a fist bump like they always do.
Yeah, right now. Let's do that.
So Jupe slowly starts like, okay, whatever you want, starts like to lift his own fist, and they're about to fist bump. And then a shotgun goes off and Gordy falls dead to the ground.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Already we get our next title screen. And this one says Lucky, which is the horse that we sold to Jupe after the commercial fail.
Yeah.
After seeing what they saw last night, OJ's more protective over his horses than ever, and he's determined now to go and get Lucky back. Mm. And we cut to Jupiter's amusement park, where Jupe is about to put on another special event that he's been running for months now, about 6 months now.
Oh.
Over the speakers, we hear him go, "Welcome to Jupiter's Claim Star Lasso Experience." And Jupe comes walking out into the arena that he has set up with a clapping crowd on the bleachers surrounding him. It's not a full crowd. It's like kind of – there's probably about 90 people, but – It's yeah. pretty sparse. And in the middle of the stage that he has set up is a huge box set up with a curtain covering it. And he makes sure to make a special shout out to someone joining them in the crowd this afternoon, an old co-star of his and his first crush, Mary Jo Elliott. And we see a woman with a veil over her face, the same girl that we saw being mauled.
Oh, yeah. So okay.
She apparently survived, so that's good. But like her face is really, really mm-hmm. messed up from that. So it's time to get started. Western music kicks in and the show starts with a scripted speech from Jupe. He goes, "What if I told you in about an hour you'll leave here different?" We heard this speech over the speakers up at the ranch the other night. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how his family and him bore witness to a spectacle that he will be revealing to all of them today. And as he starts to tell the story of the spectacle, we realize he's talking about the UFO, that he believes he has gained the trust of the UFO. And that is why the aliens have not come down from their ship and killed all of us.
Oh.
And he doesn't spell this part out for the audience, but he thinks that he earned the trust because he's been offering up his horses to it.
Oh.
Many of which have been bought from OJ for that reason.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So he takes the curtain off the giant box in the arena to reveal Lucky inside it. And oh. he's going to use her as bait to bring the UFO out of the cloud as what? Part of the show for the crowd.
What?
The UFO doesn't feel like waiting today. It starts to creep out from behind the cloud. This is our first time seeing it in like daylight. So it's like round and flat on top, but there's a huge hole on its underside that looks like a windstorm at the moment. Like that's what beams down the wind or up the wind. Not good. So Jupe's like, okay, I guess we'll start the show or we'll get the show started then. And he opens up the gate on the back of the glass box that Lucky is in and tries to tell her to start running, like to go. Most of the time the horses just run because they're trying to get away. But Lucky refuses to get out. She's like, no, I'm not getting out of here. Like, I think she thinks this is the safest place to be right
now. Yeah, she's like, I don't think so.
Yeah. And the UFO comes closer and closer, and then the power goes out. Speakers go silent. Slushy machine whirs to a stop. And then the UFO starts sucking up everybody in the crowd.
Not funny. It's not funny.
It's wild, though. Like, what do you do? You have to laugh. Right? Like, what the fuck?
I was like, what else do you want me to say?
Yeah. So, it starts sucking up everyone in the crowd. Jupe, his wife, and his children, like all 90-some people that are here right now.
Oh.
And we get an interior shot of what looks like the inside of the UFO. That at this point, we can now confirm OJ's theory. It's no ship.
What? Okay.
It is a creature, and the people getting sucked – train.
Not right now!
The people getting sucked up inside it, we get, like, sucked up with them, the camera, POV. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can describe this is, like, imagine you're in the tunnel of a blown-up bounce house, you know, a bouncy house.
Yeah.
But like every wall of the bounce house tunnel is touching each other and there's no room and you're just being stuffed through it, like not able to breathe very well, I bet.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it's eating people.
Okay. The UFO is actually a creature.
Yes.
That is eating. Okay.
Yes. We cut to OJ arriving at Jupe's amusement park, and it's really looking like a Western ghost town now because no one's in sight. And he makes it out to the show arena and sees Lucky still in that glass box. Everyone else is gone. Right. Lucky was smart.
Uh-huh.
But he can tell, like, the state of destruction that's been left behind. He knows that that thing, the sky creature, was here.
Mm-hmm.
So he stays under the shelter of the entrance to the arena anything with a roof will do, but he's calling out to Lucky to come running over to him. And the sky creature is darting around in the sky above them. Yeah. And we hear the screams of 90-some people inside it as it flies past us. And then the creature just goes for it and it starts flying down. Like, 1 second it is in the clouds and the next second it's descending down upon us and the arena, and the whole of its underside is facing us and opening up and trying to suck us up. Yeah. And OJ just jumps down to the ground and covers his face, and we cut to black. And maybe an hour has passed, I don't know, but it was sundown before and now it's pitch black outside.
Uh-huh.
And OJ wakes up from the spot that he, like, passed out on the floor of the Star Lasso arena entrance.
Yeah.
And Lucky walks up right next to him and is like, hey, you good? And so OJ gets Lucky in the back enclosed trailer of his truck before driving off so that they get out of there.
Oh, okay.
And meanwhile, back at the ranch, Angel is leaving for the night. He was putting up some, like, preventative storm stuff to keep the cameras safe for, like, an upcoming storm that's supposed to happen.
Mm.
And he gets in his car and turns up the music, ready to go. Inside, Emerald is getting a call from OJ, and he's like, Em, I was right. It's not a ship. It ate them. It ate them all. It's alive. It's an animal.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Outside, Angel has driven maybe 20 feet before his radio goes out, and then his car rolls to a stop, and he realizes that this means the sky creature is near. So back inside with Emerald, her call with OJ drops next, and then the power in the house drops.
Yeah.
OJ freaks out when their call drops from the truck because he knows, you know, his truck is still going. That means the sky creature is affecting them and is at the ranch. So he starts speeding home. And Angel has managed to run back into the house, grab a knife, and he's hiding under a table, which, like, a knife against this thing is interesting.
I mean, I don't know what I would do differently, that's probably not going to do it.
Yeah. Outside, far in the distance, Em can see the headlights of OJ's truck. But then a literal, like, wall of heavy rain starts to pour down on one side of the house. And then slowly makes its way over to them to the other side and off down the yard. But then it stops. Like, it's so weird to explain. But yeah, like a sheet of rain just passed over their house and now there's no rain. Except they can see rain in the distance, but there's no rain happening on the house. They're like, hello. They hear the distant screaming from above. And they realize that the sky creature is directly above the house, like blocking the rain.
Oh, like, nope.
Yeah. Oh, said no.
Bro.
We both did it.
We both did it. Very intentionally both times.
Yeah. Then we hear a heavy, loud squishing sound. And the shrieking and the cries for help come to a sudden stop.
Oh my God, I don't like it.
And then a loud grumbling, almost like a mechanical tummy, begins. And random objects start falling from the sky onto the ground around the house from inside the creature. And it seems yes, it is now, like, how this creature works is it sucks up, like, what it thinks is food, stores it, and then when it's ready to digest, it digests it. And anything that isn't food, isn't edible, it, like, falls back out of it.
Oh, so it, like, shat all over them at the beginning, and that's how the dad died. That's great to know.
Yeah, it's raining keys, coins again, random, like, jupes, promo, chairs, like, any random objects that it sucked up throughout the day that it doesn't want to digest, it comes raining down. And then from the POV of Em and Angel inside the house, we see blood start pooling and dripping down the windows outside.
Oh.
Like, it looks so cool. Like, the rain is mixing with the blood too outside. It's gnarly.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Back with OJ in the truck, he reaches a point in the drive where his truck stalls out because he's at that point now where there's no power.
Yeah.
And he can see the blood raining down on the house with the creature above it in the distance and, like, the composure that this man has, he just stares at it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything. He just stares at it. And the look that he gives, it's giving, like, well, this sucks. Like, I'm not going to get any sleep tonight. And then the creature apparently spots OJ and decides to move on over.
Oh, no.
Until it's hovering over his truck.
Oh.
So the rain is blocked off for him now, and Lucky is frantic in the back in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And he slowly starts to open his car door and, like, peeks his head out a little to look up, and he sees this thing above him, and it starts to let out, like, a deep grumbling roar, kind of.
Ooh.
And OJ just closes the car door again and says, nope. And the creature keeps roaring. OJ just stays in the car and is like, okay, like, I just got to wait it out. What else am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. There's no other option.
Yeah. And then we get jump scared when something crashes down on the passenger side of the windshield, and the creature has dropped down a little present, the metal horse decoy that we baited it with before.
He's mad. Oh, you want this back?
Except now it's covered in blood, of course.
Yeah, cute.
So anyways, OJ ends up just falling asleep in the truck because there's just not much else to do. And we cut to Dawn. The power is, like, finally back on. Everything's chill. Mm-hmm. So he slowly drives the rest of the way up the drive closer to the house. Angel's tech van is just sitting outside, back on now with music playing and headlights shining. And in the house, Em and Angel see OJ pulling up, and Em wants to go running out to him. But Angel's like, whoa, we're alive because we stayed in this house.
But yeah.
She's like, no, I need to get out of this fucking house. Like, what do you think is the move here? Do you stay in the house for shelter, or do you, like, try to escape and, like, get out of this whole area if you can? Ooh. Hope that the power doesn't go out on the car.
Oh, that's actually a good point, because it does seem like any shelter is fine. I don't know. I feel like in this moment, I'm not leaving the house. I might wait till OJ gets there and then we'll talk. And then I do think eventually, yeah, we're going to drive out of here and never come back.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. Like, don't want to be too hasty right now.
Yeah, exactly.
OJ pulls up and sees them arguing through the screen door, but then his truck stalls out again.
Mm.
So the creature is somewhere near. He's not giving up on us. He's mad. But he can hear that the music is still coming from Angel's van, just maybe 50 yards back. So he chances it and gets out of the truck, keeps his head down, and makes it over to the van. And when he makes it to the driver's door and opens it up, the blasting music gets even louder. And he's, like, hoping Emerald and Angel will hear it and get the message to come running so we can drive off.
Oh, okay.
And they get the message. They come running. But we see the shadow of the creature in the sky start to create, like, a wind tunnel again.
Uh-huh.
But then OJ thinks back to the commercial shoot with Lucky about how he had to keep reminding people not to look her in the eye or it could cause, like, a violent outburst.
Right.
So he looks down at the ground, like, maybe this creature works the same way. Who knows? And the sky creature passes right over him and moves off into the distance. No more wind tunnel. Like, it worked.
Oh, just what?
Can't look it in the eye.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Em and Angel make it to the van, launch themselves inside, and the three of them drive off. Second survivability check-in.
What? Okay. Mm-hmm. So they drive off. Like, this is weird because this is the end of the movie, right? <You know>? Okay. So now I have a better understanding of what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the last check-in. And when I say better understanding, I don't understand, but I know. You know what I mean? There's a difference between knowing and understanding.
Yeah.
This one's tough because it's very, it feels very chance. Kind of like, am I, like, at that show?
The rain situation, or like where you're at, like, you could just get sucked up at any time.
Yeah. Right. Because, like, I think Emerald and Angel and them, like, I think that, you know, they've done everything right. I mean, obviously, they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm one of those people at the show, mm-hmm. well, I'm going to go – I don't know which side of 50 to fall on. I'm just struggling.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same way, where I was like, I'm going to go at 50 and then I'm going to either put myself a little above or a little below, and I made my choice. That's funny that we are thinking that same way.
I think I'm going to go – with a 61.
Mm, okay. I went 54.
Okay. So we're in the same realm.
Yeah. It's very much like up to chance right now. And if I'm with OJ or with Emerald, like, I'm probably good. So
yes.
They spend that day and night at Angel's, kind of pretending like, LOL, nothing happened. Like they play some like VR video games. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for them.
They just want to be in denial for a second. But then OJ's like, all right, but I still got horses to take care of and I need to go let Lucky out of that trailer. The following morning, he goes and does just that. Also, the situation with Jupe's amusement park, all of those people mysteriously going missing, it goes viral and gets picked up on some news channels and it reaches Antlers, that cinematographer.
Oh, yeah.
And he seems a bit more intrigued. Mm-hmm. But back to OJ and Lucky, Emerald and Angel have also decided to come back despite their obvious reluctance. And then guess who shows up in their driveway? It's cinematographer Antlers.
Oh, and dear.
He's staring at the unmoving cloud and he's finally convinced he's in. He wants to get the money shot. So the four of them sit down for a little team meeting. And OJ knows that this sky creature is going to be coming back when it's hungry. And he knows that the horse decoy fucked it up pretty good and got stuck in his windpipe or something. So it'll probably have an aversion to like strings of flags for a while. Okay. So that's just something he's trying to keep in mind. Also, he's like, don't look it in the eye or you'll piss it off. Mm-hmm. A lot of creature, like a lot of animals are like that, I guess. Right. Like even dogs, actually, there's like a certain amount of that in dogs because I know a lot of the times when like my dog Karma, when she like wants something from me and I'm like, just wait. And then she's like, she'll paw at me and then I'll look at her, but then she'll like avert her gaze. Like, also, OJ has put together at this point that the reason why this creature keeps coming back around here, it's not because of them, it's because of Jupe trying to keep it fed and like tame a predator. Right. So yeah, it's like it doesn't really have a home or a station, but it has been staying here because Jupe has been feeding it.
Yeah, makes sense.
But OJ's like, but you can't tame this thing. You got to enter an agreement with it. And Angel's like, yeah, like how are we supposed to do that with this UFO creature alien entity thing? Mm-hmm. And OJ cuts him off and goes, Jean Jacket. We're calling him Jean Jacket, like after the unruly horse from him and Em's childhood. Mm-hmm. OJ's like, I get this thing. It's big, it's bad, and it's got a lot of spirit. But anything with spirit can be broken. So I'm going to break it. And Antler's like, yeah, you do that, I'll get the shot.
Yep, exactly.
And he shows them, Antler shows them this hand-cranked filming camera that he's going to use that doesn't need any electricity to work.
So oh, true.
We'll be able to get the shot when it's near. So they put a whole plan together, and all you need to know going into it is that it involves a shit ton of those tube men that you see outside like car dealerships
or whatever. Oh my God.
Like flipping around in the wind.
No way.
Yeah. Hundreds. Oh
my God, no way. I love it.
They set them up all across the land of the ranch, and we get a little title card on the screen that says Jean Jacket.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Antlers and Angel are getting set up under a tarp in like the corner of the ranch with their recording equipment ready to go. Inside the house, Em starts playing music over a speaker to signal to Angel to start up the tube men. So they start swinging around in the wind together. And it looks ridiculous, but it's good because everything's going according to plan. Like with the tube men, now they'll be able to know like if one goes down, that's like where the creature is, you know? Mm, so as long as the tube men are up swinging, we're good. But then you can see the pattern of like where the creature behind the clouds is moving. If they start going down. OJ's outside the house sitting atop Lucky, and they ride out the length of the ranch to check that all the tube men are working properly. Emma's inside keeping an eye on the camera feeds, and back with OJ, he notices that one of the tube men is kind of finicky, like down and then working again, and he thinks Jean Jacket is fucking with them. Like, he's like, oh no, she's poking. Like, she knows something weird's going on here.
Yeah.
But we have a new problem because... Oh boy. Up at the house, some guy on a motorcycle with a camera comes rolling up. So Emerald jogs out to him and is like, hello? And he starts asking like weird invasive questions, and she realizes that this is a TMZ reporter trying to get info about the missing people.
No, anybody but TMZ. Literally anybody but TMZ. Absolutely not. Get off my property. I do not want you here.
I love that they called out TMZ specifically because they're just known. Like, they do too much. Like, please go away.
They're so unethical and horrible. Yes. And like, I, oh God, do I hate them.
So she tries to tell him that they're just shooting a commercial in the area right now and to not drive down the ranch land, but he doesn't give a fuck and he takes off fast. Like, he's like, you're trying to hide something, and he starts driving.
Okay.
So Antlers keeps his camera on this motorcyclist because, hey, he's probably going to attract Jean Jacket by accident. Absolutely. And sure thing, as he's driving 60 miles per hour down this road, all the tube men start to deflate ahead of him, like closer to him. So Jean Jacket is near, and the motorcycle very suddenly loses its power, causing this guy to flip off the motorcycle and scream like a girl and hit the ground pretty hard. So he's hurt, and he keeps screaming in pain. So OJ rides out to him, and they've got a big liability on their hands now here. OJ's walkie-talkie goes out when he makes it to the TMZ reporter. He knew it would. M is freaking out and like does not want him to die for this guy. And the motorcyclist sees him and is like, oh my God, what happened? Are you filming this? Where's my camera? Why aren't you filming this? And OJ's trying to tell him, like, we gotta get going if you wanna live. And then the tube men around them spring to life again, and his walkie-talkie is back. The creature has moved away for the moment. So OJ's like, cool, now or never, I gotta carry this man onto my horse right now.
Jeez.
But the guy literally just keeps yelling at him and is resisting while OJ's trying to lift him up. And then the power goes down again. So he's like, yeah, I tried. Sorry, buddy. And he leaves the TMZ guy behind before jumping on Lucky and riding away. And behind him, we see Jean Jacket lower down and suck the reporter up into its mouth. And we hear the guy scream from inside of him, but like, oh, well. So anyways, like,
I mean, like, goodbye. Do I care?
Right.
No. Right. TMZ, like, that is, oh wow, that's got to be pretty low in the totem pole for me of people who I would not care about getting sucked into a UFO.
Yeah. RIP to him. We're riding Lucky as fast as we can to try to get some distance, but now Jean Jacket is following OJ. So he just stops and looks down at the ground, like trying to just be still and quiet and avoid eye contact. So slowly Jean Jacket retreats. Also, unfortunately, during that whole situation, Antlers wasn't able to get the money shot because
shocker,
they ran out and had to switch out the film reels during that moment. Like, they ran out of film because they got to keep on replacing the film because there's a hand cranking camera. So they're like,
why wasn't it ready to go?
But they used up a whole roll already, like waiting for something to happen.
Oh, because he was just
constantly rolling. Yeah.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. So like, annoying, but okay. So OJ hears this like over the walkie-talkie when it was on. He heard them say that they didn't get the shot. So he's like, well, shit. Okay, it's my time. And he lifts his hoodie up over his head to reveal two round reflective lights like stitched onto the back of his hoodie that they fashioned.
Okay.
And he starts riding Lucky across the desert track. And Antlers and everyone else realizes what he's doing. This is the plan from the start. They get the shot lined up and ready, and Jean Jacket descends down to OJ, focused on those like reflective lights.
Yeah.
And opens its mouth, ready to eat him up. And then OJ lets out a string of flags attached to a little parachute from his saddlebag on Lucky, and they fly up at Jean Jacket, who's scared of them.
Oh my God.
And immediately diverts and flies away. So, like, yay, it's a success. They got the shot, and Jean Jacket is gone, like flew away.
Oh.
So the movie should end here.
Well, I would hope, but I know better.
Yeah. But Antlers is sitting there in awe. Even after getting the impossible shot, he notices that the sun is lowering now, and pretty soon the lighting is going to be magic, golden hour magic.
Okay. You know what? Get over here, Jean Jacket. You can have another human for a meal because absolutely not.
And he grabs his camera and starts to leave the tarp tent that he and Angel set up. And Angel's like, whoa, where are you going? And Antlers goes, it's going to be all right, Angel. We don't deserve the impossible. And he walks off up the hill. Angel radios the others and tells them, like, hey, guys, like, Antler's being weird and cryptic, and, like, he just walked off with our shot, so I don't know what's going on. They all hop on the radios and start trying to get through to Antler's, but there's no getting through to him. He is going for a truly impossible shot, one that is so impossible that it'll never be able to see the light of day.
Yeah.
So on top of this hill, he starts rolling as Jean Jacket comes over the mountain peak and heads straight for him. He's rolling, doesn't keep his eyes off Jean Jacket, even when the wind starts and Jean Jacket is right on top of him and sucks him up through the wind tunnel and into his mouth. He literally dies for the impossible shot that he was spending his whole life trying to capture. I think he died happy.
I mean, I guess he did.
He's like, I got it. I got it. This is it.
Now throw the camera back.
Right. Angel, M, and OJ are like, shit, he's going to die. Like, he's dead. And there goes our evidence.
Yep.
So Jean Jacket starts descending the hill toward Angel, who gets swept up in a tarp and, like, barbed wire and rolls down the hill before he can get sucked up the tunnel. So good that he's not getting eaten, but bad that he's, like, wrapped up in barbed wire.
Yeah, that doesn't sound comfortable. Stuff.
So Jean Jacket notices then that Emerald has got her eyes on him and starts zooming toward her. Mm-hmm. So she runs into the surveillance room, but Jean Jacket doesn't care. He tries to suck her up through the building, like through the house.
Oh, God, I thought that was our safety net.
Right. Shit is flying everywhere, but the roof stays on. So she gets caught up in the tunnel for a second and goes flying like a good 20 feet up in the air before falling back down. Like, she got on, like, the tail end of it. And Jean Jacket circles back around to Angel, who's trying to free himself from, like, the damn barbed wire tarp situation. But he starts to get lifted up into the wind tunnel next. But thankfully, he grabs onto, like, a barbed wire fence near him and just holds on for dear life. So he's halfway up the wind tunnel before Jean Jacket ends up flying off and he gets dropped back down onto the ground.
Oh, that just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Bad fall, also, but nothing fatal.
Why does Jean Jacket want to eat barbed wire? Like, I feel like that would be a turnoff.
Well,
I don't know.
It's like, at least he gets, like, Angel out of it, you know, just poop it out later.
Just poop out the barbed wire. It's no big deal.
Back with OJ, I didn't mention it before, but he ended up having to jump off of Lucky in the process of baiting Jean Jacket. So Lucky is, like, running free somewhere. Oh, and okay. OJ is in a random shed in the desert, like, but he sees M walking across the field from him and he screams at her to get the bike and get out of here, which, like, yes, that's her plan. That's where she's headed right now, out to the motorcycle. Okay. But, like, she's emotional because she's seeing that he doesn't have Lucky anymore and he's just stuck right now. Jean Jacket is literally – okay. Okay, so also, Jean Jacket is literally morphing into a new form that we have never seen before right behind the shed that OJ is under.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. And on Wiki, it describes this new form as similar to a giant jellyfish. it looks like a psychedelic shape to me. I don't know. I can't cover it. I cannot describe to you what Jean Jacket looks like at this point. It's kind of getting the ritual.
I was about to say, yeah, exactly.
You got to see it for yourself. But guess what? Guess who's the most loyal companion in all the land? Lucky comes back for OJ.
Aww.
Yeah. So he hops on Lucky. Meanwhile, Emerald has made it to the motorcycle, but Jean Jacket is on her tail now. So obviously the motorcycle isn't turning on. Jean Jacket is too close.
Oh, yep.
But then she hears OJ whistle in the distance and she looks to him, seeing that he's on Lucky now, and she knows he's going to lure Jean Jacket away from her so that she can get this motorcycle started and escape.
Ooh.
She just looks down and, like, waits while OJ keeps his eyes right on Jean Jacket, and he keeps having Lucky, like, back up slowly. He's got an eye on M to see if she's able to start up this motorcycle, and she just screams, forget it, just leave, go. But he keeps slowly luring Jean Jacket away. And then OJ hears her say that. And instead of leaving her, do you know what he does?
Oh.
He stops and, like, looks across this desert, looks Em in the eyes. And then he does the I got my eyes on you gesture.
Oh, no.
I cried. So he's not he's not ditching her. And she does it back to him. And it's decided, like, between them that somehow they will be getting out of this mess together.
I hope so.
So then OJ looks up at Jean Jacket, who's pretty much directly over him in this new psychedelic form that is happening. I don't know. And then Jean Jacket starts to open up its mouth and OJ waits for the right moment. Lucky starts shrieking, but like stands her ground, doesn't run away. And they finally lure Jean Jacket enough, like just enough away that Em is able to start the motorcycle. So she does and she rides off. But Jean Jacket hears this and turns immediately, which they knew this was going to happen, redirecting its attention because now like that is happening. And thank God, though, now that it's in its new form, it does move a little slower. So like Em is able to outride this thing on the motorcycle and she heads for Jupiter's amusement park, which is just down the hill.
Got to go back there.
Jean Jacket's coming for her. So once she makes it there, Jean Jacket's wind is coming closer, but there's a good distance between them now. So she takes the time to unleash this huge inflatable balloon mascot that is supposed to be Jupe as a cowboy, like up in this amusement park. It's ginormous, but she's able to undo the rope, keeping it on the ground, and it floats up into the sky. And she's hoping Jean Jacket will be stupid enough to inhale it and hopefully this thing will like fuck it up. While she's waiting to see if this crazy idea works, she finds a bunch of spare change on the ground because like coins are everywhere these days these parts. And runs over to the well that doubles as a photo booth and puts her coins in. And then we wait. And Jean Jacket comes rising up toward the inflatable cowboy. And he goes in for the kill, eats him right up, and Em is able to get the money shot from the well photo booth.
No way. Like,
pointed up at the sky.
That is wild.
And even better, when Jean Jacket tries to consume the giant balloon, it explodes in his windpipe, hence exploding Jean Jacket himself from the inside out. Poof. So it was a crazy plan, but it works. Like, I can't lie, I would not done all that.
No, me neither. No.
So claps for Emerald. She's excited at first, but her excitement quickly turns to anxiety and fear again because she, as well as us, the audience, like the way it was left with Jean Jacket hovering over OJ, like the wind was picking up, the mouth was open. We don't know if like OJ was taken or not before he started coming for Em. So she's like worried. And then reporters are already flooding the amusement park gates too.
Jeez.
Like wanting to be the first to cover the story that they don't know anything about. And Em just grabs her photos from the photo booth and then she sees on the other end of the amusement park at the back gate, OJ is sitting there on top of Lucky and they're both okay. Aww. And she just starts to break down crying and the final title card pops up on the screen reading, "Nope." So
wow,
that's it
wild. That is not what I expected. I don't know what I expected.
Me either. Do you get what I mean now? Like going into this, I was like, this is gonna be interesting for an episode.
I think it's the thing is, at least as you know, someone who hasn't seen it, is like, it's bizarre enough that it's just like, it's just one of those like, what the fuck, what the fuck films. And I think if anybody listens to this without having seen the film, we'll probably be in the same boat together because don't know.
You know what I really want from you is I need you to look up the creature.
Okay, let me look
while
it up
we're talking.
Right now.
Also, while you're looking at that, I want to get into like a major some like major themes that the movie is covering with this story. But yeah, so you'll probably see like the regular form, but then. Do you see like the jellyfish form?
What is that?
Like, how am I supposed to describe that? I can't describe that.
Bro, oh my God. No, I'm looking at pictures from this. I'm just like, I'm seeing a picture of all of the gas station car dealership.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God. So I guess the poster that I was thinking of, I can see it now. It was a horse and not a cow.
Exactly. Yep.
That is wild. Okay.
Oh, before I get into the themes, actually, I'll just say, like, my final third act check-in, I gave myself a 2%.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I would die as OJ. I would die as Emerald because I would not be doing all that, like how she pulled it off at the end. I have my 2% with, like, being Angel, basically, and just getting lucky by holding on to the – actually, if I had to hold on to the fence from Dear Life, I'd probably
– yeah.
That would probably hurt, and I would not have the strength, and I'd get sucked up there, too. So, like, I don't have, like, faith in myself for this final act, how it goes down, being involved in this whole crazy plan.
Yeah, I guess it's like assuming we're going through with the plan.
Yeah.
Yes, because I probably would have left by now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm like, I'm not doing all that because I'm not there.
But like, what if it's your brother? Like, your brother is like, I need to take care of these horses and stay with this ranch. You would leave him?
No, I'd be like, get in the fucking car. We're leaving.
You would like kidnap him?
Like, probably. Like, I listen, maybe this makes me a bad person, but like, I probably would save myself and my family before I saved the horses. So I would be like, I get that these horses are important, but like, we're gonna die. I don't know. That's what's tough for me is like, I just wouldn't, I don't think I'd be in this situation to begin with.
Right.
But if like, I'm in this situation, then yeah.
Your brain wouldn't work the same as OJ's and his understanding for like animals in the way that he does.
Uh-huh.
Our brains wouldn't work with like, oh, however the fuck Emerald pulled that off at the end.
Oh yeah,
like,
no, that's not happening.
Like, there's no plan, I think, that the two of us would be able to put together to pull this off.
Right.
So then I guess, yeah, that leaves running. But I don't think I could leave the horse. I guess I would just all set them all free and be like, good luck. But that's sad.
I know. Well, like, I guess because we're sheltered and like it's clear that like while we're sheltered, we're good. Like, is there not a way that we can organize to like get some kind of trailer and put these horses in a trailer and like take them with us? Because like that's what I'm thinking. I'm definitely in no way, shape, or form am I like, I'm going to defeat the UFO creature.
Right, right.
That's never going to cross my mind because to me, that's impossible. Looking at these pictures, how the hell did they think they were going to do anything to this?
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. So, yeah, I don't know.
I guess for my final score, I put myself in the plan that ends up happening.
You did put yourself in the plan.
Yes. But I see, like, you're right. Our plan would probably be, like, how can we get out of here with these horses? But that just, I didn't think that way because it just isn't what they did.
Right.
But that's valid to include that as a possibility into your score, it being higher because you're like, you know, immediately thought that.
Are we going to average them out, the three acts, do you think?
Okay. So I did my weighted score. My weighted score comes out to 33%.
Okay.
I'm going to lower that to like 23.
So I have decided to give myself a 27 for the third act.
Okay.
And I think that's because I'm putting more on the
– yes.
I wouldn't do the plan, but it's going to be that low because guess what? The plan happened. Okay. My weighted is 50.5.
Wow.
So 51. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be so honest. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Together, we're at 37.
37. This is a funky one.
Yeah,
because I think it depends on the certain decisions that you weigh more than other decisions.
Because,
like, in some ways, it's like zero if the monster decides it wants me. But in other ways, it's like, I feel like I'm not going to try to fight it, but I don't know.
Okay, so a big theme that this movie dealt with was, like, exploitation.
Sure.
And monetizing your trauma. Which I found to be very interesting because, like, Jupe, the kid actor, like, he has this whole room. He actually made a comment at one point. He's like, this, I think it was a Dutch couple or something. He's like, this couple paid $50,000 to stay in this prop room, like, with all of his traumatic, like, things from set and, like, the bloody shoe and, like, and it's just, like, the morbid curiosity that, like, the audience brings to a moment like that where a monkey kills and hurts all these people. We see in the flashbacks how much that affected him, like, how traumatizing that was, how scared he was. But then he, like, turned his trauma into a moneymaker of, like, ooh, like, people are interested in it, so let me talk about it. Like, let me monetize it. And then, like, this UFO situation, he's like, this is terrifying. But he was like, let me monetize it. And then it's less scary almost.
Yeah, I feel like that part where he, like, is feeding it and all of that is such a weird, like, twist on everything. Because instead of just being this, like, crazy creature running around, he's, like, using it as a show, which is, like, wild.
Yeah, even down to like the first reaction from Emerald being like, you saw a UFO, we need to monetize it. Like mm-hmm. everything. And like the impossible shot, the antlers cinematographer guy, honestly, I kind of like understand and respect what he did in a way, because he was like the only one in the whole film who was okay with the shot just being for him and not being for anyone else.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. He knew he was going to die for this shot and he was happy with that. And he didn't need it to be like, I think he made his comment. Yeah. His comment was like, we don't deserve the impossible shot. And then he like died for it. So.
Right. I think in the moment for the movie, I'm like annoyed by him and yes. I'm like, you idiot, and like blah, 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 and I'm like, I'm not doing that. But when you look at it with the larger themes, it is a lot more interesting.
Yeah. And I just thought it made me think of kind of us too mm-hmm. these days. Like when anything happens to anyone, it's like almost the immediate response is like, well, do it for the plot. Like it'll make a good story. Yeah. Like
do it for the plot. Who says that? I don't know yeah. who says
that. And then when you add on, like, for example, what we do, it's like if something yep. like bad happens to us, it's like we both stream on Twitch and it's like, okay, it's a story for chat. Like it's something yep. like I can use it in a way that like makes it like useful and less traumatizing.
Right.
You know,
that is a really interesting conversation, because I was thinking of this recently. I don't know if you've seen that trend on like Instagram, TikTok with that sound that's like, that was rude. That was rude.
Oh, yes. Fuck.
But people yes. do it over super traumatic events that they experience. Yes. To be like, oh, when I was supposed to get married and my husband died. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, at first I was like, that's weird. But then I was like, it's their life, like in their trauma, like let them do mm-hmm. what they want with it. But mm-hmm. then to like look at it just from a societal perspective of like feeling like this is the norm and like we should be doing this. And it's like, is that healthy? Probably yeah. not.
No.
But it's that is fascinating. Yeah. That they kind of looked at all of that from this perspective yeah. of a giant UFO creature, but you know, whatever works.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's weird to think about it becoming a collective society thing, like how people deal with trauma and like mm-hmm. the exploitation of it. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
Damn. Yeah, no, I definitely look forward to watching this, because I can tell, like, I did just look at some pictures and it seems like it's one hell of a visual spectacle, this film. Yes. And I mean, knowing these films in the history of, like, you know, Get Out and Us, like, those are visually very stunning. So for a movie that goes so crazy,
yes,
I'm like, that's got to be interesting.
I can't wait for you to see, like, the stupid kids prank aliens scene.
Oh, I'm so looking forward, because that part actually sounds so creepy.
Yes, it was. Okay, well, you guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. We have a bunch of links over there, including one to our Discord, where you can submit your own scores and let us know, would you survive?